I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live from Radio Row, right center field here at PNC Park. It is free to get in and hang out with us. Don't be scared, Pittsburghers, about traffic and price gouging and things like that. It was fear-mongering. It's fun to come down at to the draft and hang out and check it all out. And we're here until 6. Mark Cabali is waiting in the wings. He is in the hole. In the on-deck circle is Steelers Super Bowl champ B-Mac, Bryant McFadden, who said the Steelers were the biggest losers of the draft last night. So I wonder if he's been excommunicated from the Steelers family after those comments. We'll see if...
I mean, they did let James Harrison back in.
Yeah. Who else, like, was a turncoat?
I mean, Bradshaw has gone after them many a time.
He was on stage last night.
He was on stage.
He was hugging Big Ben.
Ben also briefly tried to, like, criticize them, but I feel like Ben...
Well, he criticized Tomlin more than anything else.
Well, you're still criticizing the Steelers, although that, of course, won Ben favor with people. I don't know. Who has really been fully excommunicated? Like, who is somebody that...
AB.
AB's going to have to get, like, a new Steelers pope someday when they elect one to let him back into the Steelers church.
Seth, is our guest ready? Hunter? All right, let's go. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You watch him on the Pat McAfee Show. You watched him on the Gridiron at Moon Township. Just take teenager souls. And then he went to Penn State, dominated. And now he's with us right now, breaking down the Steelers selection. Max Ahanachor, Arizona State. This man is relocated to Arizona. So he watched them all last year. AQ Shipley. AQ, we got people down here, first of all, wondering, how did you become AQ? You're the only human being who goes by AQ. There's AJs, there's ACs. There's not a lot of AQs. How did you get that name?
Yeah, first off, nothing makes me more mad than when someone calls me AJ. So let's get that thing first. But my dad and I, first name the same, Alan. His middle name is Henry. Mine is Quay, Q-U-A-Y. So when I got, I don't know, 7th, 8th grade and our voices started to sound alike, people would call and be like, Alan. I'd be like, no, this is AQ. That's just kind of how it came about and stuck. And here we are.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
AQ, you are you partied in Moon with, it was only football at all times, but you partied with my wife and my sister-in-law at Moon, so there's like only one degree of separation between the two of us here.
Do you think they went to that Wings, Suds, and Spuds, or whatever the heck that place is called? Is that out
there? Yes,
that's, you know. Get right, let's go. Come on.
Extra wet. You get everything extra wet. They're very good. Yeah, so my wife is Alex Kinnair, her sister, Kaylee. Yeah. I know you know both of them. I have a question for you, though. You're out there in the desert. I'm very jealous because it looks like you're probably within a mile of a golf course somewhere in some direction, and I would love to be on one right now and not thinking about the Steelers pick. On a golf course. Perfect. What do you think of this pick? Like, forget about the disaster for a second, because Pony will ask you about that. Forget about the disaster with Lemon. The actual pick himself, IMAX, what do you think of him as a prospect?
So here's the deal. Everybody that I've talked to, listen, I've watched a bunch of film on him, and this is a guy that I talk about in terms of potential. I think his ceiling is super high. Now, having said all that, I absolutely hate that word because it becomes potential, and what potential means is it's a 50-50 guess. Like, right? Like, will he reach it? Will he not reach it? And when that's the case, you just never know what you're going to get. Now, having said all that, the guy's got all the intangibles. He's a freak athlete. He's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the athletic ability, he's got the length. He killed it at the Senior Bowl, which I think really shot his stock up. But again, he's only got a couple years of football, so low tread, low miles on his body, which is, I think, a win as well. But if you get what you see, you know, let's say 15 to 20 plays a game where you're like, wow, look at that guy, and get rid of some of the other stuff, the inconsistencies, then this kid could be an absolute stud. But again, they're banking on the fact that Coach Campen's going to come in there and coach him up, get him to play consistently, and you're going to turn those 10 to 15 to 20 plays into 50 plays and 70 plays and whatever it is, and all of a sudden you hope you got a stud.
AQ, is it fair to be concerned when it is a player that is so new to football?
It's always concerning when you get a guy like that. But again, like my kind of comp on him was Jordan Mailata. And
oh, wow.
if this kid turns into Jordan Mailata, then you got yourself an absolute stud. And the reason why I said that was he was the same guy. He was a rugby guy, had all the intangibles. He ran well, super athlete, long, big. And then you put him in and you get him under a great coach and Coach Stoutland out in Philadelphia, and all of a sudden you got yourself an all-pro type tackle, right? So I think similar to where he was coming out, where it's like you like everything about this guy, can we just make him be consistent as a football player? All of a sudden you got that Jordan Mailata type of player, and you come out looking like roses out of this draft.
AQ, when we talk about a guy like this who hasn't played football for that long, what are the things that he doesn't have as far as knowledge of the game that guys who played from maybe age 7 or 8 do? Like over here, he's playing soccer, he's playing rugby, he's playing other stuff. When we always hear, oh, he's kind of new to football, how does that actually translate on the field as far as things he doesn't maybe know that other guys who have played their whole lives would know?
Yeah, I think it's awareness. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like I felt like every year that I played – from college all the way through my last year in the NFL, every year the game slowed down. And what that means, I'm sure you've heard that a billion times. What does that actually mean to the listener? It means that you've seen something, so now your brain operates at a quicker pace and it doesn't seem like it's in fast forward like it did maybe as your rookie year or your second year in the NFL, right? And so, you know, I think some of that feel, some of that awareness, it only comes with the more football you play, the more football you see. And most of that comes with blitzes. It comes with twist stunts up front. It comes with all these different things. And you see that maybe they caught you on something at one point, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there and, oh, you know, 2 games ago they got you with the same look and you bit on it. Now you're not biting on it. So I think that's one of those cases where you get a guy like him, and – now the more football he plays, the slower the game's going to become, and then he's just going to continue to pick up things as he goes.
Can he play day one, or is it in his best interest to watch and learn and then go in midstream or next year, AQ?
I think it's one of those things where you draft a guy in the first round, I don't think it's a bad thing to throw him out there. And at the end of the day, like, they've been looking for a left tackle. They really have. So whether they move Fatanu over there and he's now the right tackle – now, I heard Deion Sanders say this. You can't learn anything from watching sitting on the bench. And regardless of what you say, you can't simulate what a game's going to feel like in a practice situation or even a preseason game. You got to throw him in there. That's the only way you're going to learn. So you may take some lumps early, but he's going to grow and gain confidence. But you got to handle it the right way as a coach and continue to build his confidence as he takes some of these lumps. And hopefully by midseason, it's like, okay, now we see where this kid can go.
Now, is it in their best interest to move Troy Fautanu to left tackle? There's even been some consideration that they want Fautanu to play left guard. Do you think that's the smartest thing?
It's interesting, right? I think when you look at that team, I think Fautanu is the most talented lineman on that team. So, yeah, I think if I was in that situation, I would try and move him to left tackle, keep everybody else status quo. If you like Spencer at left guard, you ride with it. If you don't, you give him a look in the offseason, or even you give him a look through the preseason. And then after the preseason, you can make that determination, hey, we might need to go get somebody. But other than that, I think you got to feel good about Mason. You got to feel good about Frazier, right? If you move Fatanu over and you like your first-round pick, obviously enough to take him in the first round, you got 4 out of 5 pretty good ones. You get a feel for what left guard is, and you let him basically have every opportunity to earn it. And if he doesn't earn it by the second week of training camp, then maybe you bring a vet in. But I think they're in a pretty good position right now if they move Fatanu over and put Big Max at right tackle.
AQ, should they have traded up to 13 and taken Vanga Ioane from Penn State, your alma mater? Would that have been a better pick than staying at 21 and taking Max?
I mean, it's hindsight's always 20/20. I think Vega, from Penn State is the safest pick in the draft. I really do. I think he's the most NFL-ready lineman of any of the guys. Him and Maui Noah. I think those two, technique-wise, size-wise, experience-wise, all those different things, awareness, all the things, all the intangibles that those two have, I think are the most NFL-ready guys. Having said that, like I do think they've been searching to solidify both tackles for years now. For years now since they drafted Jones, right? And I think now you get an opportunity, whether it's a guard or whether it's a tackle, whether you have this guy higher on your board. I'm not really sure where they're at, but you also, to go from 21 to 13, give up some pretty good capital. And so I do think there's an opportunity where, hey, listen, let's solidify the tackle. They go get their tackle, and then all of a sudden they might be able to steal, you know, an undervalued guard in the second or third.
AQ, we're hanging out with your guy, Phil Maines, down here at PNC Park.
And he is ripping you to shreds.
He told me.
He is murdering.
I don't know why. I don't know why he's even talking. I don't understand. We were just having a good conversation yesterday. Why is he coming at me? Not sure.
He said, make sure you ask AQ about his Whippy old basketball career.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a pretty good career. I'm in the Hall of Fame for basketball, boys. Not football, basketball.
If you could compare yourself to a current or former NBA player style-wise, AQ, who would it be?
Robert the Tractor Trailer, definitely on the basketball court, no question.
There were two answers you could have given to that question, and honestly, legitimately, you gave one of the two. The only other one would have been Reggie Evans, who just, I think, fouled a lot of people and beat a lot of people up out there.
All right, AQ.
That's right.
Hit him far and hit him straight. Kabali said you're a jerk. We'll see you later. Goodbye.
Hey, Pittsburgh boys, always a pleasure.
There you go, AQ Shipley.
I think the only other thing I would have asked him is, like, you know how, like, you hear about foreign languages? I swear this is an actual connection to Max. You know how you hear with, like, if you're going to teach a kid a second language, teach them early because the brain is more malleable?
Did you do that with your kids?
I would like to. We haven't, though. Like, I think Lennox knows, like, two or three Spanish words. But anyway, I was thinking about if they actually wanted to try to max out the value of this pick for, like, raw athletic ability. Is it easier to convert a guy like Max to left tackle because he's played so little actual football, right, Don?
Like, yeah, we always like the hear, muscle oh, memory
his,
and stuff.
Like,
is
his
not...
kick step and everything else is a right tackle. It's so ingrained. Mm-hmm. Like, I do wonder if they would think, now, this guy's got such athletic ability, we actually think maybe this is the best thing. Switch him over. He's so new to the sport that it's not going to hurt him like it would somebody else.
Live Radio Row, PNC Park, right center field. Come see us. It's free to get in. They've got beer and they've got food. Bryant McFadden. He's a regular with us during the football season, two-time Steelers Super Bowl champ. He is saying the Steelers are the biggest draft losers, and he'll tell us why next, but first a headline.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.